Well, welcome. Thank y'all for being here today. As Matt said, this typically is one of the lower attended services, which is why it's commonly known as Youth Pastor Preaches Sunday. So here we go. So we're excited. I didn't know that until this year. We're in some like Youth Pastor Facebook groups, and all these guys are like, who's getting to preach today? And there's like 700 comments. It's like, oh, wow, okay, cool. So most of us. All right, cool. So it's pretty fitting, I feel like, that I'm getting to preach the last day of this oh-so-wonderful year. Man, 2020. It's going to be a bad word moving forward. I just know it. My message today is titled, When Everything Falls Apart. And I'll explain how I got to this as we go. But it's about 2020. And so let's start here. In my life, I've received terrible life-changing news 4 times. The type of news that just sends ripples and you think about forever. It's something that will affect me my entire life. And it just so happened that 2 of those times were this year. March 23rd. 2020, I found out I was being laid off. The week before, we had been on a conference call. We knew stuff was coming. We knew times were getting hard. This was right as coronavirus had got to the United States and people were starting to already panic. And so we were promised if layoffs were coming, we'd have 6 weeks. And 5 days later, I was laid off. Told to bring in my keys, and I was devastated. I had never been fired from a job before, let go, laid off, however you want to phrase it. That had never happened to me before. And so not only that, but I had never left a job without extended notice or another job lined up, you know, like needs to happen after you leave a job. And so it was devastating. The news was completely devastating to me. And I thought everything was falling apart. I really did. And still, when I think about that day, I still get upset about it. I still get frustrated. But we're working on it. So here we are, March 23rd. We're starting a worldwide pandemic. I'm now without an income. I'm now without health benefits. I'm without a lot of things that this job provided. And it was enough to leave me sad, hurt, angry, frustrated, all of the feelings you would think. But even with all those feelings, it wasn't going to bring my job back. It was gone. I had to get over it. So I got to work. I started mowing lawns. I started doing side jobs. I painted. Like, I did 100 hours worth of painting. Goodness. Well, it was more than that. I did 2 painting jobs. It was awful. I'm not a painter. It was terrible. But I got to work. Either way, I got to work. Eventually, life seemed to kind of be getting back to normal. Jobs were starting to hire again, and eventually it led me to the job I'm in now. So as things were starting to get back to normal, as things were starting to feel normal again, August 23rd happened. August 23rd was a Sunday night. We were getting done here with youth. We had had a great night with our youth. We had cleaned up. Tyler and I talked for a few minutes. I jump in the truck and I get a phone call. And the phone call was from my stepdad, and he had called to tell me that my mother had passed away. She, from what we found out later through an autopsy, had a major aneurysm and passed instantly. And so because of his work schedule, Gene was in Dallas. He hadn't heard from her in a few days. He sent one of her employees to go check on her, and there she was. I was then tasked with telling my siblings, which is still one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my entire life. And I was then asked if we could all go to Portales and meet with the police and the medical examiner and kind of get things in working order. And so we did. Once the shock wore off, I was devastated. I'm still devastated about it today. She was only 52. She had just celebrated her birthdays 13 days later. She was soon to be sworn in as a Roosevelt County clerk once again. But now all that was gone. And not only that, but now I'm 27 without a mother. And so the next few weeks were a blur between funeral planning and family coming and going, sitting around sharing stories and the occasional breakdown. It was a long couple weeks. And many of you know, if you have me on social media, if you have me on Facebook or whatever, you know this is something I still talk about and we still deal with. And it's something we'll deal with for a very long time. But because of this year, but because of all the hurt and pain and frustration, I've spent many hours over the past few months reading and searching for answers. And so I've been searching and trying to figure out how to handle my life, even though I feel like everything's falling apart. And lo and behold, I found some of the best advice in Scripture. Are y'all shocked? Me neither. So I want to take a moment. I want to look at a few different things. I want to look at an encouragement from Peter, and then I want to look at the practical putting it into motion type faith. And so first we want to start in 1 Peter. So we're going to start in 1 Peter 4, starting with verse 12. And this word comes from the Apostle Peter, and it was crafted and it was addressed to the believers who had been scattered throughout the region, who had been scattered all the way to Asia. They were in a different land. It was a completely different life for them. Peter had heard that they were being scrutinized against. They were being challenged for their faith. They were being persecuted before their faith. And so Peter just wanted to write some encouragement. He just wanted to give them something to lean on as they were facing this time. And so so he sent these letters. He also wanted them to know that when they suffered in their new climate, when they were persecuted, that it wasn't in vain. It wasn't just suffering for the sake of suffering. Because no matter what situation we find ourselves in, but especially in our suffering, it's not just for the sake of suffering. God's will and God's purpose is somewhere behind the scenes working. And eventually, sometimes it takes a long time to figure it out, but eventually it will be shown to us. So again, we find ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we start in verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." But rejoice in his suffering. We know the story of Jesus. We saw the story of Jesus. These guys experienced it firsthand. They knew what his suffering was. So when people are talking bad about these new Christians in their area, or they're pushing them away or making life difficult for them, he's like, man, rejoice, because Christ went through the same suffering plus 100. He went through this and he did this for you. So when you face these times, rejoice in it, because Christ did the same suffering for you. And not only that, no matter what the trial is, God is at work in the background. Whether we see it now or we see it later, his plans will be done through everything that's being done around us. And at some point, like Peter states, his glory will be revealed. It might not be right now. It might not be in the middle of your pain and suffering, but it's going to be revealed to you. And maybe you never see it. Maybe you go years and like, man, why did I deal with this? Why did I go through this? But maybe you get through it and you're like, man, God, this was amazing. I see what you were doing now. I see what it was that you were working towards. Verse 14, he says, "If you were insulted for the name of Christ, you were blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." If you're dealing with this persecution, it's because they see God in you. And if they see God in you, and if they see this in you, they're persecuting you, you are blessed, because you're obviously doing something right that they don't like. Verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler." These characteristics should never explain us anyway. And so if this is the reason that you're suffering in life, that's a whole different conversation we need to have separately. Because if this is how you're being described, we need to talk. Verse 16, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that same name." Don't be ashamed of the fact they're calling you bad names because you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed because of all this. I know it hurts you. I know you're in a spot that isn't comfortable, but glorify God in that same name. Verse 19, he finishes it up and says, "Therefore, Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. When we struggle, Peter says, we need to make sure that we are still trusting God in everything that we do. Are times hard? Absolutely. But God's still there. His will is still being done, and we are still drawing near to him in those moments for comfort and clarity. Even when all of this is going on, entrust your soul to a faithful creator. Peter's words are amazing. Peter's words are great. We all need the encouragement. We all need to understand that we're not the only ones going through things. But at the same time, one thing that I think is really cool about our faith and our Christianity and our beliefs in Jesus is that not only can we receive these words of encouragement, but we can see where Peter got them from. Because Peter got all of his teachings directly from Jesus. So what I want to do over these last few minutes is I want to look at a few things. I want to look at the way that Jesus handled certain situations. More importantly, I want to look at how Jesus handled the last 72 hours of his life. Because there's three definitive statements that he makes that can push us every day when we're in the midst of our suffering, when we're in the midst of everything that's going on around us. These words from Jesus can push us through and help encourage us. And not only is it encouragement, but it's practical use on how to do it. So let's look at this. In the last 3 days, Jesus was anticipating the coming pain. And then he endured the pain, and then he made three statements over this time that we can look at when things start to fall apart. The first one, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours done." If we believe that Jesus was all man and all God, he knew exactly what was coming to him. He knew exactly how they were going to hang him on the cross. He knew the pain and the suffering that he was going to go through. So he sat in the garden before his arrest and he prayed. First, he says, "If you're willing, remove this cup from me." We can always go to God with our worries. We can always go and ask him for things. We can always say, "God, maybe this is not your will, but here's what I'm thinking. And if it's not your will, then great." We can always go to God with our worries and crisis. "Lord, if your will is to stop this, please do so." Because nobody wants to suffer. Jesus himself did not want to suffer. "If it is your will, God, remove this cup from me." But then he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, even though this is what I want, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." God, this is what I want. I want this to be gone. I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to lose this job. I don't want to lose my mother. I don't want to be sick. I don't. But if this is your will, God, even though I may not understand, let it be done. I may not understand why I'm struggling. I may not understand the reason behind his will and purpose, but at the end of it all, God's will be done. When I lost my job in March, I didn't get it. I was hurt. I was angry. I was scared. But God had bigger plans for my life. That job, while it paid the bills and provided a very comfortable lifestyle, did not fulfill his calling on my life. My calling was to be in this building every chance I get, sharing the gospel with our students and building up the faith of the next generation. That's my will. That's God's will for my life. With that job, I missed opportunities to teach and to preach when I was called upon and to fulfill my calling. And when God's calling is not being fulfilled in my life, but I'm continuously going to him and saying, "God, whatever it you have in store for me, please make it known." And then out of nowhere, I'm jobless. He began to show me and guide me in the direction in which he wanted me to go. "Lord, your will be done." Second, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hanging on the cross, moments from death, he still maintained a heart of compassion. Jesus knew what they were doing was wrong. He knew they were sinning against him as an innocent man. But yet in the process, he maintained a heart of compassion for those around him. So often we get caught up in our own struggles. And we get caught up in a mindset that doesn't match that of Jesus. We sit in anger, we sit in sadness. Sometimes we just sit down and have ourselves a little pity party. But that's not what Jesus did. He prayed for those that hurt and mocked him. Because he knew, and what we know now as believers is that even those that hurt us need Jesus. Even those who take from us need Jesus. But Brandon, you don't know what they did to me. I didn't deserve it. You're probably right. I don't know what happened to you. I'm sure you didn't deserve it, but neither did Jesus. But he was in that situation so that you and I and anyone else who confesses faith in God through the sacrifice of Jesus doesn't have to suffer. And if we're going to live a life as close to Jesus as we possibly can, because we're never going to match Jesus, because we'll never live a perfect life. But if we're going to live as closely as we can, we have to understand that in our pain and in our frustration, when everything around us is falling apart, that we need to continue to show compassion and love to those around us. Because that's what Jesus did in his pain and misery. The last statement Jesus makes, Luke 23:43, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus' mission's never stopped. His mission was to share the gospel and to reach as many people as he possibly could, then to die for the sins of man and to return to the Father. And even in his last moments, he didn't give up this mission. Even in our times of struggle and hurt, we still have a mission. That mission is a mixture of the calling on your life directly from God and the ultimate calling from Jesus to go and make more disciples. Those two things never stop. Your calling isn't paused in the midst of your struggle. You still have a job to do. It might be loving on those around you as you suffer. It might be loving on those at work that don't know that you're suffering. It might be teaching. It might be leading. It might be doing whatever it is that God has called you to do. But it doesn't stop. If Jesus, while hanging on a cross, can minister through his pain and suffering and offer salvation to this man who was on the cross for things he did do, you and I can show love to our neighbors. We can lead according to the talents that God gave us. Because our calling from God does not get put on pause in the valleys of life. God can work through you even when you don't feel like doing the work yourself. A perfect life is never going to exist again. We're human, we're going to feel pain, we're going to feel hurt, sadness, all of it. But how we ultimately handle those feelings and how we act towards others as we process those feelings shows more about our faith in Jesus than anything that we can say or do. If we're going to live a life as followers of Jesus, we must follow his lead exactly how he lived his life. And it's not going to be perfect. We're going to slip. We're going to make mistakes. We're never going to execute a perfectly lived life. But we should always strive to get there. And when we do fall short, because we're going to, we'll be covered by the amazing grace of Jesus. So as we leave here this week, as we leave this year, again, as we look back over this year, it has been crazy for everyone. I know the struggles that we've gone through as a family. I know the struggles some of y'all have gone through in this church family. But as we leave this year, I want us to leave looking back at how Jesus faced times of trials. Because it's going to happen again. It might not be another worldwide pandemic, but something is going to happen because we're human. Because that's how life is. I want us to find Jesus through our pain. I want us to lean into him as we face hard times and to never forget as we face those times to follow the lead of Jesus.
If you live in the Clovis, New Mexico area, we'd love to have you join us one Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis. For more information about our church, visit HighlandClovis.com. And to let us know a little bit more about you, choose the Connect tab and click on our online visitor card. You can also submit your prayer requests under the Connect tab. Lastly, follow us on Facebook at hbc.clovis to keep up to date with our announcements, events, and online services.